So if a person sows to the flesh, they will reap corruption. Now, this is spiritual law. So that means nobody can avoid it. And everyone reaps what they sow.
I know my God has made the way for me. I know my God has made the way for me.
Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, join us for a special re-airing of a powerful teaching on positive confessions from John Copeland and guest Bill Winston.
Hello and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm John Copeland and I'm so honored to have you here today joining us because we're going to be getting into some wonderful things that can help change your life. We're here with Pastor Bill Winston.
God bless you.
Pleasure to have you here. It was good last week, and I believe it's going to be better this week.
Better this week. Amen.
Pastor Winston and his wife, Veronica, are out of the Chicago area. They have Living Word Christian Center Church there in Forest Park, Illinois. If you're anywhere in that area, you need to go over there and check that out because they have a great church. Well, Pastor, we've talked about some good things last week about our mouths, about the words that come out of our mouths.
Right.
And I believe we're going to continue on that line of subject
this week.
And get more in depth on that. And, you know, if you're tired of feeling like that people are controlling your life or maybe somebody's holding you down or maybe the color of your skin or, you know, where you grew up or your education, whatever it may be, is holding you back, well, we've got good news for you today, and that is nobody can control your destiny but you. You are in control of it, and it's a matter of what you put in your mouth, or comes out of your mouth, but you put in your heart, comes out of your mouth, will control your future. So that's good news to know that nobody can hold you down.
You know, people say, well, I was born across the tracks. But the real truth is everybody was born across the tracks, somebody's tracks. But what we want to see is we want to take away all those excuses for people not feeling that they can reach their goals or their own destinies. And so we want to talk about that a little bit more
great.
This week.
Let's praise get into
God.
That.
All right. Well, let's go over again to Matthew chapter 12. And we use this as our starting place on last week, and I figure we can do the same thing this week. So I'm going to start here, and we want to read starting at verse 33. It says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For a tree is known by his fruit. Now, that right there is a powerful truth because it says a tree is known by its fruit. Now, what we discovered last week is that the Word of God is a seed, and that seed comes and it's sown in our hearts. Now, our hearts are akin to soil. So once that Word is sown into our hearts, now our hearts, the soil just does the growing. I mean, that's what it does, whether it's one seed or another. And so now, inside of us grows up a tree. Now, once that tree is grown up inside of us, it then yields fruit from the root of whatever that tree is. So now, in a person's life is the fruit of what the tree is inside of them. Once that tree grows up inside of us, some people call it an image. Mm-hmm. And all of us follow our image. No matter where that image is, no matter where that image, where we're going with that image, we follow that image that's inside of us. Our place is that image. Let me give you an example. Remember when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they came through the wilderness, and Moses had gone up on the mountain and had to get the Ten Commandments, but he stayed for 40 days, if you recall. Mm-hmm. Well, they said, well, we wonder what happened to Moses. Well, they decided then to make a calf, a golden calf, a calf out of some of that they had gotten from Egypt. Now, once they decided to do that, they fashioned this calf. Now, we know that Moses came back and they were dancing around the calf and said, these be our gods that delivered us and so forth. So they built an idol god, if you will.
Yes.
Now, my point to you is, where did the calf come from? And that's a very important point. Where did the calf come from? The calf came from Egypt. That's where they got the image of it from. But how did it get in the wilderness? It got in the wilderness because of the image that was in them that was transported in their hearts into another place. Mm. Now, this is a powerful truth because, you know, this lady one time said she was apparently, I heard the story, she was cooking a roast and she cut the end off the roast. And her husband saw it and said, well, now, why did you cut the end off that roast before you put it in the pot? She said, well, I don't know. Said, you know, Mama used to cut the end off of that roast, and I don't know why I did that. Let me call Mama. Call Mama. Mama, why did you cut the end off that roast before you cooked it in the pot? She said, baby, I don't know. Big Mama cut the end off her roast before she put it in the pot. Let me call Big Mama. Called her. Big Mama, listen, why did you cut the end off that roast before you put it in the pot? She said, oh, baby, my pots were too small. You see, now, transporting an image generation after generation. Well, you know, Daddy had hay fever. You know, he had a heart attack at 50. And so what? Putting that image inside of us. And it is not God's will.
Yes.
So notice, here is a cow that got in the wilderness through the heart. It was invisible until it came out as fruit. And that's what it says here. It says that the tree is known by its fruit. So you can tell what's in a person's heart by what's coming out of their mouth. You listen to them for any time at all, you'd be able to tell what level of maturity they are as a believer.
That's true.
Now, you go on down, verse 34, a generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So whatever we have in our hearts in abundance will come out of our mouth. And guess what? It will control our lives. One more place. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Now, what we used here is we used the example of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt again. Mm-hmm. And what happened? They came into the wilderness and sent out 12 spies to spout the land of Canaan, but they came back and some gave an evil report. Well, what happened? That seed came out as fruit out of their mouths, and those who heard it ate of that fruit. The seed is in itself. It's in the fruit. And so when a person hears that, it goes into their heart as a seed and grows up inside of them. Now, that same believing is in somebody else that they preached to that congregation. So they begin to believe as those leaders believe. Why? Because of what the leaders said, the fruit of their lips. Mm-hmm. Now, let's look at that and let's go over to Hebrews chapter 12, because let's see how that works in terms of bitterness and unforgiveness. Because people can be mad at somebody or somebody treated them wrong and they have unforgiveness against that person and so forth and so on. And the next thing you know, some things will happen, not only to that person, but the people around them. Look what it says here in verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now notice what he's saying here. Root, bitterness. Okay, let's say somebody had a marriage, and the marriage wasn't good. Well, this particular person, let's say there was a man that didn't treat the woman quite good, and there was a lot of bitterness in this marriage and whatnot, and they separated. Now, because she had bitterness in her, now maybe she speaks bitterness to her relatives about the person. Mm-hmm. So now they don't know that person. But the same bitterness that's in her comes from the seed of bitterness that's from the fruit of her lips and comes inside of them. And they have the same anger against that person. Wow. That she had and never have seen her.
And you know what? It doesn't do one thing to that other person.
Not a thing.
Doesn't affect them.
Not a thing.
Other than, you know, they may hear that they're saying bad things about
that's
them.
That's exactly right.
And they get bitterness in their heart.
Exactly right.
Now, if they allow that, then it can affect them.
And it can affect them because of unforgiveness. You know, if you look at Matthew chapter 18, he talks about unforgiveness. That unforgiveness can really bind the person that's holding that unforgiveness. Not only that, it can affect their family, you know? And so think about it from a racial standpoint, meaning that here's a race and this person has been, let's say, unjustifiably treated, have been treated wrong, and then mad and spread it to these people, and then they spread it to all of those, and they spread it to all of... Now you can have a whole group of people mad at somebody. You follow what I'm saying?
Sure.
And it doesn't do any good because that just grows. What we got to do somehow, we have to break that cycle, because by holding unforgiveness, we can hold ourselves in bondage, we can hold other people in bondage, and the first thing that Jesus said is, love your enemies.
And it ties God's hands from helping you.
It ties God's hands. It blocks the
door. Blocks, you know, you could be believing for, using your faith for something.
Sure you can.
For healing or whatever the case is,
because
unforgiveness in your heart can lead to sickness and disease, can lead to cancer.
There you go.
And so you've got, maybe you're dealing with a health issue, and you're believing God, but you have unforgiveness in your heart. You can forget it. You've got to get that unforgiveness out before any of that's going to have any effect.
My Lord.
And, you know, it's just a vicious cycle there. I mean, people get in that and they're believing God and they're not getting healed, but yet it's their fault because they haven't forgiven Aunt Betty or whoever it was.
Is something blocking the door.
And, you know, you have to think about 50% of Americans wind up in divorce, I think, is a stat.
Yeah,
I mean,
so,
I'm not quoting any report, but it's just from, you know, things I've heard.
Sure.
You've got to figure that a lot of those people that went through that divorce are harboring unforgiveness.
My Lord.
I mean, if you just took those people that went through that process, most of them that I've seen have been bitter.
They are mad, bitter.
You've got to figure that there's a lot of people that need to let go of something.
Oh, my goodness. And the thing about it is somehow they think they're justified by holding that. And the problem is that's fertile ground for demons. I mean, it's the devil's work. I mean, he can come in there and inflict all kinds of stuff and so forth and so on. Why? Because of what's going on in their hearts. Now, let's get that out. All right, let's go over to Luke chapter 17, because we got to rescue somebody here. Praise God. Now, you know, nobody said it was easy. I didn't say it was easy. I said what you have to do is you have to make up your mind that you're going to be in the blessing.
You know, I was driving down the road the other day, and there's a gentleman that I haven't really cared for very much in the past, just because of... it's more political around here than anything. It has to do with politics and stuff. And driving down the road, and I saw the guy getting out of his vehicle. And I said something out of my mouth, and my daughter was in the car with me.
Gotcha.
Of course, kids don't let you get away
with
it.
No, they
13-year-old daughter's in the car, and she looked at me, and then I told my wife when I got home, you know, what I'd said and everything, and she goes, well, you've got unforgiveness in your heart towards him. And you know what? She was right. And, you know, I don't think about the guy much. It's not like I'm around him and I think about, you know, every time I see him, I've got this unforgiveness. I rarely ever see the guy. And most of the contact has been through, you know, third party or, you know, hear somebody, like what you said, you hear somebody that said something that they said and all that. And it had developed into me unforgiveness in my heart that I hadn't recognized until that moment. Mm. And, you know, thank goodness for children and wives to bring you into remembrance of the word. And so I had to forgive the guy right there. I said, well, you know, because I know the dangers of it.
Yes, sir.
And whenever that comes up and you realize it, maybe you didn't realize it until you said something, that I've got something in my heart towards that person. Mm. That's when you got to take that minute right there and say, Lord, forgive me. I forgive that person, and you know, I just ask for your forgiveness. Because if you have those things harbored in your heart, and that was one of these things that I don't just walk around with bitterness. Some people walk around with hate, and bitterness on a daily basis, and all that does is eat you up from the inside out, and it doesn't do anything to that person. You know, you want to make that person uncomfortable? You go up and tell them how much you love them.
I'm telling you.
And then I'm praying for you. And that'll disturb that person. You know, love never fails.
It never.
But it will sure make that person rethinking, you know.
This guy told me a story about a man who hated his neighbor next door to him, just hated him. But he went to this church one night and got born again. And the pastor talked about forgiving your enemies. Well, he went home, and his neighbor happened to have a trip that he had to go on with his family and took his family on vacation for a week. Well, during that week, his lawn grew up, and it needed mowing. So this one that hated him before said, oh, my neighbor's lawn needs mowing. I think I'll go over there and cut his lawn. Went over there and cut the guy's lawn and everything. Guy came back from vacation. Noticed that his lawn was cut. He went to his other neighbor on the other side and said, hey, Harry, my lawn is cut here. Who cut my lawn? He said, John cut it. John? You mean John that hates me? He came and he cut it himself. Boy, I think I'll go see him. Knocked on the door. John answered. Oh, Bob, how you doing? Hey, yeah, John, I heard you cut my lawn. Yeah, I sure did. He said, now, wait a minute. He said, well, John, it all started when I got born again. He said, oh, did you? He said, yeah, I sure did. And the preacher said, you got to love and forgive. And I decided to do that. But he also said, by showing love, you can heap coals of fire on their head. And that's what I want to do. So it's not that. We're not trying to do it like that.
All right.
But anyway, let's look at this Luke chapter 17, because it's kind of interesting here. He says here, verse 1, then said he unto his disciples, it is impossible for that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. Now, he's talking about offenses here. He's talking about people who have offended you. And then he goes on down to verse 3. Take heed to yourselves that if your brother trespass against you, rebuke him. And if you repent, forgive him. He's still talking about forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Then they said down in verse 5, and the apostle said to the Lord, you're going to have to increase our faith. Here's what he said. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say to this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted into the sea, and it should obey you. So people can have a root of bitterness that has sprung up to a tree, and it's producing out of their mouths. And the Bible says many will be defiled. As they spread that hatred, they spread that all of that unforgiveness to other people, they eat of the fruit, they're mad too. And you can get a whole mad group of people.
We're seeing that with Islam today.
Absolutely. Mad at people and don't know why.
Stand up and preach in the mosque.
Sure.
Hate.
That, exactly.
Towards America. Really, infidels. Anybody that's not a Muslim. They just spread the hate to their children, teaching it in the schools.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Now, there's two verses I want to show you out of that, because these two verses are key. Let's first look in Galatians chapter 5, and then we'll look at James chapter 1. Galatians chapter 5. Yeah, we don't want to heap coals of fire on anybody's head. That's not the idea. All right, look what it says here in Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. Notice.
Well, that's mixed right in there with
that is a work of the right in there with a bunch of others. That is a work of the flesh. Now here's a sad part about it. Look what it says in verse 7 of chapter 6. Verse 7 of chapter 6. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Watch this next verse. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. You look that word corruption in the Greek, and it says destruction.
Wow.
So if a person sows to the flesh, they will reap corruption. Now, this is spiritual law. So that means nobody can avoid it. And everyone reaps what they sow. Now, you and I sowed some bad seeds before we got saved. got saved. Well, where did the harvest, where did the destruction come on us on that? It didn't come on us. It came on our substitute. His name was Jesus.
Yeah.
So sowing and reaping works. So how many people are destroyed, being destroyed, because this law is working in their lives?
Good Christian people.
Good
I mean,
Christian people.
If you said, if you were to, yep. you know, going to the church and yep. say, you know, you've been guilty of adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. Oh, they'd be just, no, there's no way they're going to be involved. And you go right on down, though.
Hatred.
Hatred's right in there. And there's a lot of people doing that.
Hatred.
Not realizing the seriousness of what they're doing. And that's, and I've heard people say this, well, I could never forgive him.
Oh,
or I could
it.
Never forgive her because of what they did to me. I don't think I could ever forgive him.
All right. Let's go. You gave me the key. Let's go over to James chapter 1. Because that's what they're saying. I could never forgive him. No, you don't know what he did to me. There ain't no way I can forgive him. Look what it says in James chapter 1 and verse 20. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Now, what is he saying here? Deceives his own heart. You want to forgive somebody, but what a person is saying is, I can't forgive him. Now, what seed are they sowing? I can't forgive him. Now, they get more of what they had before. Instead of taking up Luke chapter 17 and where they have unforgiveness, say, I do forgive him. Now, what seed are they sowing now? Seeds of forgiveness. What will it do? Root that old image out. Next thing you know, they're, wow, he's not a bad guy.
So how do you do that? I mean, say you say it's a person, one, that you see a lot.
Yep.
Which is harder
yep.
sometimes.
Yep.
Maybe you have to work with the person.
Yep. yep. You
on
have
a
to,
daily basis.
You have to go back around them.
Or maybe you have to live with them in your house. You
know? I mean,
no. So how do you, if you want to forgive,
yep.
right?
Yep.
But your flesh
yep.
doesn't want to.
But the flesh will come under the spirit. You see that? The spirit is a world is more powerful than the world of the natural. And the world of the natural is controlled by that spirit world. That's why when people look at too much stuff on TV they shouldn't see, that comes into their heart, it'll control their life. Well, if that be the case, why don't you put the Word of God in there and let that control your life? We had a prophecy that came forth a couple of weeks ago in that church, and here's what it says. God, this year in 2007, is going to give you complete deliverance from everything that you've ever... But for you to get that complete deliverance or complete prosperity, you must have complete forgiveness.
Wow.
Boy, I ran out and found that this guy get quicker than me. I said, there's one guy that I know I've been holding something against. He called, and I said, I'm glad you called. Went over and talked with him. Praise God.
Hallelujah. We're out of time, and we'll be right back right after this.
Just like natural laws make gravity work every time, the spiritual laws that govern the confessions of your mouth can start to bring what you say to pass every time you speak it. In The Law of Confession, Dr. Bill Winston brings to light truth from God's Word about how the words that come from your mouth actually shape your life. This powerful 3-volume audio teaching reveals the importance and life-changing effect that words have on you and everyone around you. Whether you're learning the importance of words for the first time or you want to hone your speaking even further, this teaching will revolutionize the way you look at your words. Gain an understanding about the actual potential in every word you speak.
Death and life are in the power of your tongue. What am I doing with this series? I want to make it so that your words have value. That every word that you speak, you're going to measure that against the Word of God.
Take control of your words today. Order your copy of the Law of Confession CD package by Bill Winston for only $30. This package contains 3 powerful series that will help you make positive confessions. Purchase this package online through our website at kcm.org or call our toll-free number, 800-575-4455. You may also write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Order the Law of Confession CD package today.
You really need to order this CD package. That is the Law of Confession that you just saw the spot on. It's 11 CDs, and there's a lot of power-packed teaching. We can only touch this subject briefly in these 30-minute sessions that we have, but you can get these from Pastor Winston, and you can get in-depth on being able to control your future by your words. Pastor, we were talking about unforgiveness in your heart, and I really sense that we need to go, we need to pray with our viewing audience today and just walk them through that prayer of releasing that unforgiveness and forgiving the people that they may have things held against. Now, some of them may have to make a list of them. I don't know, you know, but I want to walk through that. If you would lead us in that prayer.
Surely, surely. I want to just let you know that if you'd like to look up a scripture and read it, it's found in Matthew chapter 18. You can read it. And it's talking about what happens if a person holds unforgiveness against someone else. There can be detriment. Things, destruction can come to you or your family or whatever have you. The reason why, because that law is working. And the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. So if there's anyone that'll try to hold you in unforgiveness and bitterness and so forth, it would be the enemy himself. God says we have to love our enemies. We have to do good to those who despitefully use us and say all manner of things against us. So we have the capacity to do that because we have the love of God. I want to lead you in a prayer. If you, in fact, have been holding unforgiveness, I want to lead you in this prayer. Say this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for holding bitterness and unforgiveness against my friend, my relative, my ex-spouse or spouse, or anyone that is living or has passed. I ask you to forgive me now and help me to recover the love of God for them in Jesus' name. I do forgive them right now in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. And as those people's faces come back up to you again, you just thank the Lord that I've forgiven that person, and you walk in love, and you'll see situations in your life changing. Y'all be sure and join us tomorrow because we're going to be back on this talking about some other things about your words, and we'll see you then.
This is the year of fullness of blessing. If you'd like more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries or today's Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, visit our website at kcm.org or call 800-575-4455. Take the time to intentionally immerse yourself in God's Word and allow it to transform your life. Dive in at the 2008 Branson Victory Campaign. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland for 3 days of soaking in God's Word, March 6th to the 8th at the new location of Faith Life Church, 3701 State Highway 76 in Branson, Missouri. Visit kcm.org or call 800-600-7395. Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
It's hearing and taking God at His Word and acting on it. Very simple. You can hear it one time and believe it. And that's what I'm conditioning my heart to right now. I want to be able to not have to meditate it for 3 or 5 days or a week. I want to read it and run with it. Glory to God.